operators and looking at countless activities based on TWR strategies helped inform many of the changes in the second edition. Teachers throughout the United States and beyond shared their work, asked questions, and made suggestions that were invaluable in adding to our knowledge about effective writing instruction. We owe debts of gratitude to several other individuals. Our editor at Josie Bass, Amy Fandre, was supportive, responsive, and patient throughout the process. Maureen Forrest helped us immeasurably with the design of the book, and her guidance and positive attitude inspired us throughout the process. Rachel Monahan's editing and guidance were indispensable. Jamika Smith, TWR's associate creative director, was an important contributor to the book designing process. Robin Travers's experience teaching the Hockman method for many years made her an excellent resource for editing expertise and feedback. Last but not least, we appreciate the support of our families and friends and their recognition that our mission is an important one. In particular, two of us, Judith Hockman and Natalie Wexler, owe a deep debt of thanks to our husbands, Steve Hockman and Jim Feldman, for their support. Foreword. Judith Hockman and Natalie Wexler's The Writing Revolution is a timeless book that is grounded in practical wisdom, refined by application in thousands of classrooms, and supported by learning science. It meticulously describes how to effectively teach a skill that is and will always be profoundly important to students. It's a book that stands the test of time. Perhaps fittingly, this foreword, originally published in the first edition of the book, remains as relevant to me now as it was when I first wrote it. It is a personal reflection of encountering many of the ideas in the writing revolution and testing them with my own children. Every application of the principles within the book reaffirms their enduring value. I am not alone in my high regard for this book. Since its publication, hundreds of thousands of teachers have read and used it with great success. It has, honestly, become something of a sensation. However, while the book remains timeless, the world, both in society at large and within schools, has been rapidly changing. Recognizing this, and in light of Hockman and Wexler's dedication to updating the entire text, I will add a few new thoughts of my own at the end of the original foreword. A few years ago, our family spent a couple of months in London. My kids were 13, 11, and 6 at the time, and I had work there, so we decided to take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to live in one of the world's great capitals. We paid regular visits to the British Museum, combed through the food stalls at Borough Market, and traced on foot the remains of the city's medieval wall. There were day trips to Bath and Cambridge. We even had a local pub, that is, which really should go without saying. It was an incredible experience, thanks in no small part to what I learned at a lunch I had with one of the authors of this book before we left. I'd read an article about Judith Hockman's work at Newdorp High School in The Atlantic a year or two before, and it had stayed with me. Hockman espoused embedding writing instruction in content. She thought sentences were overlooked and rarely taught. She thought syntactic control, was the link to unlock the connection between better writing and better reading. She believed in the power of deliberate practice to build reading skills. Her work was technical and granular, and the results were hard to ignore. It was the kind of thing I was drawn to. A friend had connected us, and I drove down to meet her. With what soon revealed itself as her typical graciousness, she had invited me to her home near New York City. And the result was one of the most memorable days of my working life. I remember scratching notes furiously on page after page of my notebook, trying to capture everything she observed about writing, its connection to reading and thinking, and why so many kids struggled to learn it. Over and over, Hockman would hit on an idea that had been swirling in my head in inchoate wisps and put it into a clear, logical formulation of practice. Here was the idea you were fumbling with, described perfectly. Here was how you'd make it work. I couldn't write fast enough, but I remember thinking that when I got home, I would read everything she'd written. This, however, turned out to be the only disappointment. There wasn't, until now, any place where the ideas Hockman had talked about were written down in one cohesive place for a reader like me. I was left with the observations in my notebook, the hope that Hockman would someday write the book you are now holding